Can we just do something? Can we rest to our feet for just a minute? It won't take more than a minute. I'd just like us to take declarations. I welcome everybody once again. We are praying this morning. We know that the Lord is present here with us already and is going to enlighten our hearts today. If you believe that, give me an amen.
Amen.
All right, can you just say this after me? Say, I am being filled with the knowledge of His will. In all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing Him in all respects. I am bearing fruit in every good work. And I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Say, this morning, the word of the Lord will come to me. It will find its way into my heart. It will heal me in every area. It will give me light and direction. And it will make me like Jesus Christ. I will become more like Jesus than ever before. By the power of His Spirit. Not by my own effort. But by the power of His Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ. If you believe that, give me an amen. Please take your seat. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. If you have your Bibles, please open to the book of Hebrews. I want to start from the book of Hebrews chapter 2. This two-session seminar, we are looking at the overcomer spirit. And that's what we began to talk about yesterday. Let's read this book of Hebrews chapter 2 and take it as our text of scriptures for today. Now, I'm going to read the whole chapter. I need you to try and be patient with me and follow me closely, even though it's just one verse I really want. But I want us to just read the whole chapter. And I'm going to read it from a simple translation, the New Living Translation. I may take a few verses from New American Standard, which I use regularly. But let's just start from the New Living Translation this morning. It said from verse 1 of chapter 2, so we must listen very carefully to the truth we have heard, or we may drift away from it. For the message God delivered through His angels has always stood firm, and every violation of the law and every act of disobedience was punished. So what makes us think we can escape if we ignore this great salvation that was first announced by the Lord Jesus and then delivered to us by those who heard Him? And God confirmed the message by giving signs and wonders and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit whenever He chose. Now, He said in verse 5, and furthermore, it is not angels who will control the future world we are talking about. For in one place, the scriptures say, what are mere mortals that you should think about them, and the Son of Man that you should care for Him? Yet for a little while, you made Him a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You gave them authority over all things. Now, when He says all things, it means nothing is left out. But we have not yet seen all things put under their authority, that is, human beings. What we do see is this: Jesus, who for a little while was given a position a little lower than the angels, and because He suffered death for us, now please follow me closely from here, and because He suffered death for us, He is now crowned with glory and honor. Yes, by God's grace, Jesus tasted death for everyone. God, for whom and through whom everything was made, God chose to bring many children into glory. And it was only right that He should make Jesus, through His suffering, a perfect leader, fit to bring them into salvation. So now Jesus and the ones He makes holy have the same Father. That is why Jesus is not ashamed to call them His brothers and sisters. For He said to God, I will proclaim your name to all, to my brothers and sisters. I will give you praise. I will praise you among your assembled people. Also, he said, I will put my trust in him, that is, I and the children God has given me. Now, please notice verse 14 again. Because God's children are human beings, made of flesh and blood, the Son also became flesh and blood, for only as a human being could he die, and only by dying could he break the power of the devil, who had the power of death. Only in this way could he set free all who have lived their lives as slaves to the fear of dying. Please, I want to read that verse 15 in a simple, in a more literal translation. He said, and that he might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. I wanted to use the expression fear of death rather than fear of dying, because when we look at dying, as if we die one day and we'll be buried. But the fear of death is more than that. The fear of death is more than the fact that we realize that one day everybody will die. Because Jesus actually did not release us totally from one day everybody dying unless it comes before we are old and we have lived out our lives. But even though we are still going to die, physically speaking, if it doesn't come on time, but he still released us from the fear of death. The fear of death is something that I'm going to talk about. Now, let's continue reading. Verse 16. He said, we also know that the Son did not come to help angels. He came to help the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, it was necessary for him to be made in every respect like us, his brothers and sisters, so that he could be our merciful and faithful high priest before God. Then he could offer a sacrifice that will take away the sins of the people. He says, since he himself has gone through suffering and testing, he is able to help us when we are being tested. Now, I've read the whole of chapter 2 of the book of Hebrews in New Living Translation, apart from that verse 15, which I went to the New American Standard to bring something out. I read the whole thing to bring out the fact that Jesus, he became flesh and blood for the purpose of dying on the cross, and this was to deliver us from the fear of death. And because of the fear of death, people are held, are subject to slavery all their lives. The Bible says here that he did not come to help angels, but he came to help the descendants of Abraham. And I want us to understand that who are the descendants of Abraham? It is not natural Israel. It is not natural Israel. The Bible tells us clearly, the promise was to Abraham and what? His seed. And that seed is whom? Jesus Christ. Christ. That seed is Christ. So the descendants of Abraham, okay, are the people who are of faith of Abraham. If you're going to read Romans chapter 4, Paul explained that. It's those who are of faith, the faith of Abraham, that are the descendants of Abraham. It is not those who are of natural descent. Let me just talk about that briefly. I hope I won't spend too much time on it. Sometimes, you've heard it said before, people try to argue that the Igbo man is a Jew. Have you heard that thing before? Yes, and now the colonel started practicing Judaism. And the judge who wanted to grant him bail said, well, you say you're a Jew, you get a rabbi to stand shorty. The whole thing made me laugh. Okay, that's not even it's not the political side I want to talk about. It's the Jewish side. Now, one day, I asked one of my junior colleagues in Enugu, I said, well, why did you people say that Igbos are Jews? I mean, what did this start from? Because they are not even white. Are you getting my point? So, they are not, there's nothing. What is the issue? Now said that Igbos circumcise their children on the eighth day. You've heard that thing before. I said, well, Yorubas do that too. I grew up thinking it was that every human being did. I was surprised when I found out some people didn't do it. What's that thing they told me? They gave me a number of points. And I said, well, I guess all Nigerians are Jews, therefore, because... Now, but why am I talking about it? I said, why do people make noise about this? What is the attraction? I went to preach in a church once. I was a guest minister there. And the bishop of the church at the end, one man came who was organizing Aliyah. You know what they call Aliyah? Or Aliyah is a return of the Jews to Israel. So you find Jews move from Russia, they move from Europe, like large part of Europe. They didn't move much from America, but they moved from a lot of parts of Europe. Even from North Africa, Jews moved from different parts of the world, and they moved to modern-day Israel. And each time they move, it's called the Aliyah. Okay, that's what they call Aliyah. So the man was organizing Aliyah for Nigerian Jews. So that day, so the man was going to be given time to speak in that church. He was selling CDs and all of that to show the arrangement. I felt like telling the bishop, say, "Oh God, this man has come to do his business. You want him to do it on your pulpit." But they didn't invite me for that one, so I kept my mouth shut. But the bishop now stood and said, "Look, everybody should pay attention to what this man is saying, because he knows where he is from. That is, I know I'm a Jew. Now listen to me. Please, listen to what I'm saying carefully. Be careful when you start insulting Jesus Christ. It is an insult to the Lord Jesus for a Christian to stand up and start bragging on his connection to Judaism. You have just insulted Jesus. You have insulted him. People don't realize that. I see the church do it every day. If you see the way they carry Judaism, there's a kind of awe and respect. And I hear preachers say that. There's one preacher, I like him. I love him. I love him a lot. In fact, I've been planning to send him an offering because he has blessed me tremendously. He has blessed me tremendously. But there's one area where he speaks and I just get, I say, "Oh God, don't do this." He said, "People say I look like a Jew. I wish I were." I said, "How do you tell Jesus this kind of statement? How do you want him to feel if..." Now imagine I'm working with my son. Maybe somebody like Victory. And somebody says to Victory, "Hey, you look like a..." Now, let's even use as an example. "Oh, Victory, you look like Dangote." And he says, "Ha, I wish I were Dangote's son." You know, you know what I would do to him. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Now, this is even Dangote that has cash now, much more than I have, physically speaking. Spiritually, he's not richer than me, but physically, he has much more money than me. You can imagine how insulted I will feel. Now, let's take another one. Assuming Dangote is working with his son, and somebody says, "Ah, you look like Otedola." Think about that. Otedola is a very rich man too, but not half as rich as Dangote is. Counting material wealth, I don't even think he has a quarter of what Dangote has, at least the way we value it, physically speaking. And you say, "Okay, ah, you look like Otedola." And the boy says, "I wish I were Otedola's son." Now, can you imagine how Dangote will feel? Two things. You've refused to take pride in who your father is. Secondly, are you stupid? Who is richer, me or Otedola? I don't have time to spend on that. I will not sit on it. That is how we insult Jesus every day, when we behave like that. When a Christian says that he wishes he were a Jew, when a Christian brags on, "Ah, I hear the organizing Aliyah, I know where it came from." You must understand that Jesus ended that pride when he went to the cross. After that cross, he said, "Whether you are a Jew or a Gentile is the same thing." When you make certain statements, you are denying the work of the cross of Christ. Be careful. Be careful. People have argued that Jews are still Jews. I don't have any problem with that. I don't have any argument with that. But this is what I want to ask you. Sit a Jew down, sit a Christian down, ask Jesus Christ, who is more important to you? Now you answer him. Because somebody who denied his lordship, is that more important to him? Because a father is Abraham? Don't forget, John said it. When they told John, he said that not even Abraham, but the father is Jacob, because Abraham, we are all children of Abraham. You understand what I'm saying? They asked John. He said, "Oh, you say you are bragging that you are sons of Abraham." He said, "God can raise stones for Abraham, if that's what he's looking for." But you see, Christians, you see this awe. When I hear people say that, I say, "Please, don't insult Jesus Christ." I hear Christians say, "Look, the reason why Britain had a problem was that they broke covenant with the Jews. I have no problem with you not having problems. You can have the problems you want in life. Problem is free." Are you getting my point? If you want the problem, cross the road, a truck will knock you down, you will have problems. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you are looking for trouble. But what I can't understand is when the same people will never open their mouths and say the reason why this church, this country is having problems, is that they have decided to oppress Christians. I'm one of those that believe that the reason why Yemen, Iraq, Syria, and listen to me, Iran will soon get their own. The reason why Libya, all of them have problems till today, is that they killed Christians. They blocked missionaries from coming in. They blocked the name of the Lord Jesus. And I'm saying to Nigeria, the problem we are having today, it is not Boko Haram. It is not Islamic headsmen. It is the insult we Christians are putting to the name of Jesus every day in not living like believers and advancing his gospel, in chasing money and chasing other things, in which we pastors get up every day and lie from the pulpit because we want to build a bigger cathedral. I got the facts a few days ago that Nigeria, last year, Nigerian Christians, the churches earned half of national budget. Do you understand? The money that passed through our churches in 2017 is the same thing as half of what Nigeria budgeted to spend the whole year. Yet, we did not take the gospel to Maiduguri. We are not there every day lobbying and shouting on why can we not broadcast the gospel of God on federal FRCN in the north. We don't say that. We are there telling people to come down south. Let me not go to that area. It's very touchy for me. But the point I'm making is this. We insult the Lord Jesus every day when we say that the reason why a country is having problems is that he doesn't have good relationship with Israel. Listen to me. The modern day Israel, if you read your Bible well, God doesn't behave to that. He doesn't behave like that. He doesn't behave like that to those who deny him. They were one of the first countries in the world to legalize homosexual marriages and homosexuality, which for God is a mark of insult to him. When people have departed from me, they go after strange flesh, the Bible says. Yet, Nigeria, we have a problem because it does not have a diplomatic relationship with Israel. Meanwhile, the Christians inside, God doesn't care. Which God are you serving? I don't think it's the same God as the one I understand. The son of Abraham that Jesus came to help is you and me if we hold on to our faith in him. I have seen people say, you give it, and you want to start sending offering to Israel. Why? So they can be blessed. Sorry to say it, you don't know anything. How can you say you are looking for a blessing when the same Bible you read says clearly the promise was to Abraham and to his seed, not seeds as of many, but seed as of one. And that seed is Christ. If you are looking for a blessing, my brethren, look for your brothers and sisters and be kind to them. And be good to all. I'm not saying you shouldn't help the Jews. Are you getting my point? But remember, you need to be good to all. Jews, Gentiles, Muslims. But especially, he said, do good to all. Especially those who are of the household of the faith. Christians, number one. That is, Jesus came to help them. What Nigeria needs at this time is not what some people think. Have you heard all this noise they make these days? Go and get your voter's card, 2019 voter's card. Some of the, I'm sure the angels are laughing. The angels cannot be depressed. Okay, they can be depressed. No, I don't know, they can't be depressed. I don't even know that. Because we do enough things to make them laugh. Yes, I will also do things that will make them cry. They look at us sometimes and they want to cry. That look at people that the Lord blessed. Look at how they are reasoning. Look at people that the Lord increased. Look at how they are reasoning. Look at people that God, Jesus died for and delivered. They still camp all night praying against witches. Sometimes they don't know whether to cry or to laugh. Jesus came to help the descendants of Abraham. And those are the people that are of faith in him. Let's get that one clear. We need to get it clear. This is our Jesus we have insulted. Ah, God. Sometimes I look at him, I feel, you know, is it possible to feel sorry for God? Honestly, there are times I feel sorry for him. I feel like telling the Lord, sorry, please don't be angry. Because if we get him angry, let me not go there. If we get him angry, we will suffer. People think he doesn't get angry. He's only slow to anger. He's slow, but he gets angry. Let's not get him angry. When I look at the Lord, I feel sorry for him. After everything you have done for us, look at how we are behaving. My message anyway, let me get into it. He came to help us, and he has helped us. He came to help us, and he has done what he came to do. which is to deliver us. Now, let's go down to that verse 15 again. It said, from verse 14, he came that he might render, he said, through death, he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. I need to talk about this slavery thing and how we have been set free. This is my message for this weekend. Yesterday I explained something. We ended with it. That you see, how you see yourself is crucial to what God can do in your life. Now let me quickly say something. I'm not a motivational speaker. You know, one of the worst titles you can give me in life is to call me a motivational speaker. It insults me. Once I came to Abakaliki here many years ago, somewhere on the way before you get here, I can't remember exactly which camp they use. And I was invited to come and speak in a program, Christian Medical Students Association. And they have printed their bulletin and they put my name inside, motivational speaker. I entered. I saw my name under it, motivational speaker. When they called me up to preach, first thing I did was, everybody, bring out your bulletin. Open to page number, so, 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 and so. You see my photo there? Yes. You see my name there? What's written under? I said, everybody, cancel that word, motivational. Cancel the word speaker. I am not a motivational speaker. People have invited me for programs before. And once we suspect they are looking for motivational speaking, automatically we decline. I'm not a motivational speaker. If you call me a motivational speaker, you're not listening to me well. I'm one of the few preachers that threaten people with the fire of God. I'm one of those that don't even believe. They say that once saved, always saved. They say it's a lie. If you read your Bible, it's not true. 2 Peter chapter 2, Paul said it clearly. There are people who knew. He said it would have been better if they never knew the way of truth than to know it and then depart. That their end state is worse than their beginning. How can the end state be worse if they were forever saved? It's common sense. How can it be worse? Peter, taught directly by the Lord Jesus, had visions of Jesus afterwards. His ascension to heaven. The same Peter said, look, go and read it. I don't have time now. He said, there are people who knew the way of truth. Then they departed from it. He said, it would have been better for them if they never knew it. He said, because now their end is worse than their former state. What does that tell you? They couldn't have been once saved, always saved. I'm one of those preachers who say that. I believe God sends people to hellfire. He doesn't like to do it, but he has to do it. Do I sound motivational? Okay, it motivates people to repent. That's true. Now I threaten you with fire and brimstone, you will repent. Now, I don't believe in motivational speaking, not because it is bad, because Lazarus was motivated for 4 days. He didn't wake up. You know that? When he was sick, we don't know how long he was sick. They motivated him to get well. Did he get well? 4 days, Lazarus was motivated. Did he wake up from the dead? He said, how did they motivate him? We all know how they motivate dead people. The moment he dies, you grab him and say, you can't go. That's motivation. Don't go. It's motivation. Then the sister starts crying. The women start crying. Lazarus, how are we going to survive without you? You cannot go. Is that not motivation? Lazarus, you know you are the only man in this house. You can't leave us like this. What will we do? Is that not motivation? Did he wake up? Answer me. You know why? Motivation does not work when you are dead. You can't motivate the cripple to walk. You can't. You either heal him or you find a way to help him. But you can't motivate him to walk. If a man is dead, you cannot motivate him to get up. Now, this is the difference. When Jesus came, he didn't beg Lazarus. Lazarus, you know your sisters need you. You are important to what I'm doing in this district. You are the champion of my disciples here. I remember the food you guys used to give me in your house. He didn't say that. He didn't even go near the... He didn't enter the tomb. You know, the other day I saw one film. That's a Jesus film. So I called my children, let's watch it on TV. So we're watching it. After something, I told all of them, I said, children, this is a fake Jesus. I said, this Jesus is fake. They said, Daddy, what do you mean? I said, he entered the tomb of Lazarus. I said, the real Jesus, he didn't do that. And that one, he went in, he went in, he put his hand on the head of the Lazarus and did like this. And the Lazarus woke up. I said, no. I said, quench that television. Rubbish, rubbish Jesus. This is a rubbish one. The real Jesus did nothing like that. He did not need the stone removed to raise Lazarus. He needed the stone removed so that Lazarus can come out. Otherwise, Lazarus will wake up inside the dark and die again out of fear. They removed the stone, not because of the need, his power needed it, but they needed to remove the stone because Lazarus will soon come out. They removed the stone, he stood there, looked up to heaven, and prayed loud, and told everybody, I'm only praying loud so you will know what's going on. Otherwise, I would have just stayed here, in my heart, uttered my words to the Father, whistled for Lazarus, and he would have come out. But so that you will know what's going on. Father, I thank you because you have heard me. And I'm only saying all of this because I want them to believe. Why? You hear me always anyway. And I know you have granted me the soul of Lazarus. I'm going to call him and he's going to come out. I'm doing all this talk, all these razzmatazz, so that they will know why Lazarus is rising up. Let them not think that he didn't really die. And he made a simple statement. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus not only became alive again, his body did not only rearrange, he had been decomposing for 4 days. Not only did all those things get reversed, he found himself getting up, not by his own strength. Ezekiel said, the spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. That same spirit entered into Lazarus, set him on his feet, and brought him to the door of the tomb, which was why they had to remove the stone. How do I know all of this? Because he had to tell them, lose him, let him go. If he needed to lose him so he could go, that means he did not come there by himself. That is the difference between motivational speaking and impacting life. The whole village motivated the man for 4 days. He didn't answer them. Jesus came, spoke life to him once. What am I trying to explain? It is not about motivation. That's not what the gospel is about. It's about imparting life. Jesus came to deliver those that were in bondage because of the fear of death. It is not by challenging them to get up. No, it's by really giving them life and making them see clearly that they are no longer in bondage. That there's no need to fear death. Let's talk about that fear of death. What is death? No, that's when we're reading, I was reading from the Living Translation. But I use the word fear of dying. And I said, please, let's use the literal Greek, which says the fear of death. Because death is not about dying. The man fell down, his heart stopped beating, they had to bury him. No. It's beyond that. Death is poverty. Death is sickness. Death is confusion. Death is, my neighbor is a witch. Are you getting my point? Death is, there's an ancestral curse in our family. That's what death is. All of those things, people fear them. Christians give a lot, unfortunately, for wrong reasons. They give a tithe. What is the number one reason? So that the devourer will be removed from their lives. Is the fear of death. Their giving is out of the fear of death. They are not giving out of the love of God. They are giving because of the fear of death. Something happens to somebody. He said, what happened? My son was sick. Went to hospital for 3 days. And the neighbor says, did you pay your tithe? That is a very wrong doctrine. It's a sad doctrine. What that does is to impact into that fellow the fear of what? Death. So next time he wants to, in quotes, pay this tithe, he's not thinking of the money, love for God, love for the church, love for the pastor, or whether it's even true or false. What is, let's pay God awful so that he can keep the devourer away. His giving is motivated by the fear of death. What is the fear of death? This one, that this country is going like this. What is going to happen to us tomorrow? We don't know. What about our children? Hey, your children, of course, this one very common. You know, prosperity is a crazy thing. If you don't manage it well, it will manage you. Are you getting my point? You have to make up your mind who's going to manage who. You know, I tell people sometimes, not every car they give you, you collect. There are cars that people drive. There are cars that drive the driver. Are you getting my point? Yes, prosperity is like that. If you don't manage your money well, it will be the one managing you. They tell you, get up. What are you doing? Your shirt is old. Buy another one. You take a perfectly normal shirt, nothing wrong with it, change it. Your car is old, nothing wrong with it too, just that your neighbor bought another one. It is simply prosperity driving you up and down. You are no longer in control. The Samsung released a new phone. Apple released a new phone. The one you are using, nothing wrong with it, making call, doing everything. You decide that, no, this is not my mate I'm using. Suddenly you begin to have mates. Prosperity is driving you up and down. You're no longer thinking. You change a phone that you bought last year for 300,000 for the one you buy this year for 500,000. Why? Prosperity is not letting you think. Be careful. Now, we'll talk about that another time. This one is one of the ways prosperity will take, helping people to drive people up and down. Woman get belly, suddenly they start having ideas. Can't deliver in this country. Why are you going to deliver? I'm going to deliver in America. Why are you going to deliver in America? There are different kinds of lies they tell me. But this is the commonest truth that they tell. That, you know, you have to give the children a future. Now, listen to me. It's called the fear of death. That's what I'm talking about. All this future is because you can afford the ticket. It is because you can afford to buy a pay American hospital. If you could not, you would have gone into your Bible and you would have understood children's future is not determined, you understand, by where they were given birth to. It's determined by the blessing that God places upon them. And how does he do it? He does it through the father, through the mother who has faith. Listen to me. The child born in Abakiliki and the one born in Alabama, their future is dependent on whether God blesses them or he doesn't. Listen, the one that was born, and the day he was born, the day she was born, the father took the child and says, blessed are you of the Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth. And he says, men will serve you, nations will bow down to you, it will be well with you. That one, the one born abroad will serve him. What did Isaac say? He said, I have sustained him with grain and with new wine by speaking these words to Jacob. He said, I have chosen Abraham so that he would teach his children and his household after him the will of the Lord in doing righteousness and justice. If he does that, then I will be able to bring to pass the blessing that I have promised him. That's how children are blessed. But people who can hardly... That is, they don't have anything. They will save money, pack money, borrow money. Why? Madam is pregnant. And she must deliver abroad. It's called the fear of death. What is fear of death? Let my children not be poor. Let Boko Haram not kill my children. Let Islamists not kill them. For that reason, you are not thinking, what was this child born for? What is the purpose of his life? What is God supposed to get out of his life as glory? What is she supposed to do for the Lord? It doesn't come into our reasoning at all. Even those of us that claim to have faith, this is how you know you don't have faith. Or your faith is small. You know, faith gets level. It's not all or none. It has levels. Jesus talked about little faith. Mustard seed faith. Little faith is very small. Because mustard seed faith is small. But little faith is smaller than that one. Oh, yes. Jesus said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, and it will obey you. But when they were afraid of this, they said, oh, you have little faith. So the faith was so small, it couldn't do anything. And he looked at a woman, daughter, great is thy faith. Looked at the centurion, said, I have not seen faith like this in the whole of Israel. Faith has levels. This is how you know your faith is small. You can believe God for your life, but you don't risk it with your children. That's one thing I find about Christians. If God says, get up, leave where you are, go to an inner part of the country, they will get up and go. But when they give birth to children, they say, go and stay in Lagos where it is safe. Lack of faith. Fear of death. That's what I'm talking about. What is the fear of death? when we start making decisions because we are afraid of what might go wrong, we are operating in the fear of death. When you want to travel and your neighbors must not hear, it's called the fear of death. Why? You know, preachers will preach it too. I've seen preachers preach it. Because human beings are very wicked. They are very wicked. You don't know what people are planning inside their hearts. So when your wife is pregnant, don't let anybody know. Because if they know within the first 3 months, you may miscarry. Why? Human beings are very wicked. When you want to travel, don't tell anybody. Because the witches will know you're about to travel. They're now going to block the road. You now fall down and die. No! If a business opportunity is about to happen, don't tell anybody. Because when people hear it, they will block it. How? Spiritually. They will fly, like one pastor said. Any witch hanging between earth and heaven because of you, I fly. I jump them. Pastors can be jobless, honestly. See, when you don't have work as a pastor, you have to manufacture something to entertain your church people. A carry man will go for air, say, I fly. I jam them. I told everybody, I said, watch that video. The name of Jesus did not drop once, like that, that's how I judge things. I started looking at, oh yeah, mention the name now. You can't, because Jesus does not fly and jam people. Any witch that will not sleep because of you, hanging between heaven and earth, I fly on your behalf. You fly on my behalf. Me? You, they are carrying you. The few witches don't need chair. They have wings. Christians, you know, pastors, we are crazy people. We just wake up with device. Because if you mention the name of Jesus, you know that every knee must bow. That is, where they were flying, they will come down by themselves, come and bow here. We operate what they call the fear of death. That's the point I'm making. So we don't tell our neighbors we are traveling. Because we don't want them to block it on the road. Meanwhile, unbelievers who don't believe in God, movie stars, the moment they do pregnancy test and it's positive, they call press conference and announce to you that Prince Harry's wife is pregnant. And this pregnancy is just 8 weeks old. And people say, okay, what are you going to name him if he's a boy? Name her if he's a girl? I mean, like, born again children of God are hiding their own. No. Ayele, people are very wicked. Fear of those who don't know God don't even care. Yet those who believe are hiding because somebody may hear and cut the umbilical cord from heaven. So they gather in churches all the time and they are praying, and the prayer is ineffective. Why? It's based on what? Fear. The fear of death. Why did I talk about motivation? I'm not motivating anybody. Don't be afraid. No. No. I'm telling the truth that Jesus has removed the cause for fear. That's what I'm preaching. That he has removed the cause for fear. That is why, like I said yesterday, a friend of mine said, give me free opportunity to send all my children to Harvard. I will not. Why? He said, because he doesn't understand why I have to take the glory of God and donate it to Harvard. He said, I don't understand why I need to take God's glory and donate it to Harvard. Why? Because I don't believe that God can bless people. I am not saying he needs a Harvard qualification. He said, no, I beg to differ. That was why, when my wife was going to deliver my first son, mother offered go and visit your sister abroad. Of course, that one, you know, I'm not the one that will pay the ticket. It's the idea. My wife asked a simple question. When will my husband see the child after he has been born? Hey, you will come back home maybe within 2 months. He said, my husband won't see the child for 2 months. He said, thank you very much, but no thank you. My mother looked at her and said, you people are really stupid. You know things that people would go to church and say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brethren, after that fire Sunday, and I planted my seed for increase, God opened the door. Now I'm going to deliver abroad. Amen. Now people will rejoice, woo hoo, and they call it breakthrough. Their testimonies are here sometimes. I wonder, did everybody in church drink this morning? Is this a testimony? A student will come and testify. A third year engineering student testify, I got a visa to America. Now I'm leaving school and going to America. People say, praise the Lord. Pastor, do you smoke? Because if you came and gave that to me, I would have told you as a young man, you are very stupid. Not only did they not train you well, your friends didn't inform you well. I will collect the visa from you if I'm allowed. I will tear it in front of her and say, idiot, go back to school. Yet people come and testify about it. Praise the Lord. God don't do harm. God don't do harm. What did God do? He gave me visa. I had to come off for school. I'm a third-year engineering student. I'm abandoning school. For what? America visa. Okay, wasn't Luca that told me the story of somebody he knows? Wife, a banker. Husband, a businessman. They are doing okay. They packed themselves, collected American visiting visa. Because America gave them the visa because they saw their bank balance, saw everything that these people, they're not the running type. Yet they ran to America and they're not coming back. And I said, what are they looking for? Someone asked me that, no, it's not America. They will soon find their way to the Canadian border. They will now trek into Canada. You know what they call the fear of death? That's what Christians are operating by. Things that people celebrate. My wife and I look and say, I forget that thing. You know why? What my children will become in the future, there are two statements I want to make, both of them correct, okay? First one is irrelevant where they are born. It's totally irrelevant. If you listen to me, I use Dangote as an example a lot. I don't know him personally. Just because he's the richest Nigerian we know, and people are making all these decisions are looking for money anyway. And he's the richest black man we know. Yet, he was born in Kano. Where was he born? No, be Kano. Jesus said, learn a lesson from the fig tree. Where was he born? Are you saying that God has gotten tired of such miracles? Has he gotten tired of such operations? There's a story I like to use to illustrate a lot of times. My friend once told me, said, Banky, just like we're in a hurry, he said, if you had time, I would have lives in New York. I was with him then. He said, I would have taken you to where the only child of one of Nigeria's top politicians those days, when we were young, no? Top politicians. He said, this girl's mother, when they were in power, it used to be in the news. She used to travel to Paris to go and buy her makeup. And they won't go to market, go abroad, shop for lipstick, eyeshadow, face powder, perfumes. That's how much wealth they commanded. Said he married this prominent Nigerian at that time, had only one child. He said, if you had time, I will take you to the shop where she works as a clerk. You will buy something, she will attend to you. Let it just go on record that the daughter of one of Nigeria's topest politicians, when we're children, now when I say top, let me explain what I'm saying. I want to color it so you won't know. But it's somewhere among the top four. You know, you mentioned president, vice president, top four. It's not number four. I won't tell you which number the person did. Amongst the top. He said, Banky, I will tell you. He said, you will see it. This is her. All the money her father spent, what did it become? More importantly, wherever she was born, most likely in the U.S., what has it become? A clerk in a shop. And if that girl was born that time that he was telling us about, that means at this point that he and I were talking, she was over the age of 30. When your children are born, I keep on telling people, it doesn't guarantee anything. Let me tell you about wealth. It's an appointment. God will pick you. That one. Make him wealthy. That one. Put him in poverty. No matter what he does, make sure he's never, I'm serious. That's how it is. So if you want it for your children, kneel down and ask God for it. Says, my son, Lord, bless him. My daughter, bless her. That is, do that in Jesus' name. Say amen. Then begin to teach the children righteousness and justice. Listen to me. This is the word of the Lord. Nations will serve them. What is the fear of death? Fear of poverty. Fear of these things going wrong. Well, my message to you, like I said, is not about, no, be bold, be bold. Listen, if you are bold and you are a rat, you charge at a cat, your boldness will end up in the cat's stomach. I hope you're getting my point. There's no boldness you will use as a rat unless the cat is a rat in cat's clothing. When we're young, those days. No, I wasn't a little boy. I was already grown. I was in university around that time. We had a cat. There's no bold cat, a cat rat that will come near that cat. You know, there are cats that, they're actually lions, just that their body is small. They are real tigers. If you just amplify them like this, you will know what they really are. We had a cat like that. We got it because of rats in the house. So one day my father brought a cat, small cat, begin grow. As it began to grow, you know how it was growing? It was feeding on rats. Little thing like this. Ah, I saw this rat, Baba hunter. Hey! Let me tell you how bad it was. It used to catch birds. Can you you believe that a cat will catch birds? Our cat used to do it. I'm not joking to you. You go to the grass near us. You will enter the grass, lie low. The birds are there playing. You crawl on them. Pow! All of them will disappear. It's okay, no worry. Now we'll come back tomorrow. Then, boom, one day we'll go grab one. Doesn't know what to do with it. It's not used to eating birds. This is our rat cat. We'll catch lizards. Kill it. It doesn't eat lizards. Just kill the lizard. Look at it. Throw it away. And it wants to eat. So he leave the house and go and hunt. You know why it's going out to go and hunt? It has finished all the rats in the house. Our neighbor's house, the rats went. That kind of cat. But if you're a rat, don't be motivated to come near it. You know what he used to do? He knew the path they used to walk, pass. Now go and lie down there and just lie down there. Can be there for 2 hours. It's not in a hurry. He said, now go pass. First day it arrived. It wasn't so small when he came, I remember. But first day it arrived. It did meow. All the rats went into the holes. They had holes inside the wall. We tried everything before. Rat poison, smoke, everything. They were there. Okay. The guy do meow. Every man stayed inside. Then one day, hunger motivated the boldest of them. And it became food for our cat. What am I going to say? Don't let anybody motivate you to face the cats of life. If you're a rat, you will die. Forget all these books they write. Get up, we can do it. Most people who read it, they got up, they tried to do it, they died. They couldn't write their own book. So you don't know. And even if they were to write the book, will you read it? How I tried and I failed. How much? 1.5. Your own money. What am I saying? It's not about motivation. It's about explaining that Jesus took that rat, are you getting my point? And turned it into a bigger cat. Turned it into a lion and dared all the cats to come. Unfortunately, many of the lions now have a rat mentality. So when cat does meow, they disappear. And the cat is laughing. You tell the other cat, come, let's go scare some lions. The cat says, lions, this one don't know they are lions. They think they are rats. That is what I am preaching. That Jesus actually has. Now listen, spiritual things are real. Jesus actually has, in the spiritual realm, removed the power to fail. He has removed the thing that keeps you under. You don't need deliverance. You have been delivered. Jesus, this is what he has done. Listen to me, people of God, if you have believed in him. He has said, This is a spiritual fact. Okay? What am I about to tell you? He said, listen to me. If you have faith in me, wherever you are, you can prosper there. You just need to locate where I keep you, where I have sent you. He said to the disciples, when you went out and did not take, because he told them in that Luke chapter 10, take no purse, take nothing. Don't even lobby. Don't explain to anybody on the way, you know, we are missionaries for Jesus Christ. If you can support our ministry, you know, it will be a blessing. He said, don't greet no man on the way. That's what he said. Don't explain yourself to anybody. When they came back, he said, when I sent you, did you lack anything? They said nothing. What's Jesus saying? If I sent you somewhere, you will not lack anything. He said, look, lack. You shouldn't fear lack. That's one of the things Christians will learn to practice. Don't fear lack. Don't fear that, you know, have you heard this before? Opportunity comes but once. I always say it's not a gospel of the man that is blessed. Because my blessing is not a chance meeting. He said, from there, God commanded the blessings. Blessings are commanded. If I tell my wife, okay, come to Abakiliki, where so and so and so place. If she misses her way, we should not become your wife because she mistakenly knocked on the hall where you are doing your own program. No, she won't become your wife. She will look at you and say, no, this is not my husband. Please, where is Pastor Banky preaching here? There are many halls in these premises. You will find the one where I am. Why? She's my own. She's my wife. I'm my own. I'm my husband. My blessing is like that. I don't believe opportunity comes but once. Let us assume Elijah got to that house, to Zarephath, did not find that widow. Would he not go to another widow and say, oh, I brought a blessing. Do you want it? He will be moving up and down. Say, Lord, where is the widow? They say she went to the well to go and fetch. The Lord, you ask the Lord, should I go to the well to go and look for her? The Lord will say, no, wait, she will soon be coming. Let me ask you a question. When Samuel got to the house of David, the house of Jesse, was David at home? So they said, opportunity comes but once. So Eliab became the king. No, now. Samuel sat down and said, it's not Eliab. It's not Abinadab. It's not Shammai. They counted all of them. At the end of the day, and nothing refused to flow. He said, something's wrong here. Jesse, is there another one? Yeah, there's one little boy. Let's not tell the story. There's a reason why he's not here. Oh, you have another son? Go and get him. We will not proceed until he arrives. That's how your blessings are. They had to go and call David. David arrived from the... Look, you don't have to be where the action is for you to be blessed. The action will send for you when it's your time. People say, go to Lagos. That's where the opportunity is. You're not yet blessed. If you're not sent to Lagos, you will know the kind of opportunities that are in Lagos. I'll tell you, one of them is how to sleep under a bridge. Have you ever seen a normal man sleeping under... How many bridges do you have in the back lake? I don't know. I saw one here. Have you ever seen a normal man sleeping there? If you see anybody sleeping there, automatically, it decreases. Have you? In Lagos, half of those under bridges, nothing's wrong with their head. There's nowhere else to go. You see men with cars drive to the airport at night. I say they want to pick somebody. They get to the general parking, park there. I say they are waiting. It's the lie. They are trying to catch sleep. There's nowhere else to sleep. He has a car. So he goes to where he can park. You think he's a taxi man. International flight. I'm waiting for a passenger. Lie. These are things I've seen. It is not when you're in the center of the action. David was not in the center of the action. All his brothers went there. They were in the center of the action. His father was in the center of the action. Samuel, who carried the blessing, explained to him clearly, all of you here in the center of the action, this is not yours. That is not your own. It's one of your children. First son is not your own. Second son is not your own. They got to the last son, a present. It was not his own. Until they sent for David. One brother was telling me the other day, I think I was telling you guys the story in Enugu. He said, Pastor, I've not told you the story of my brother. I said, no. He said, he got a job, went to Calabar. It was not a high-paying job. Well, not too bad, but just small money. Then the company reduced it further. Don't ask me why. I don't know too. the reduced pay was not even coming regularly. You know, some of the people that own companies, they behave funny. They will take money and go and start doing another business. You've not paid your staff.